You're listening to Get Fed Today, one podcast designed to provide the Christian a hearty Bible study 5 days a week. While our mission is to showcase a variety of different Bible teachers, if you want to access more content from a particular pastor, simply listen to the end of the episode for additional information. On behalf of the entire team at Get Fed Today, it is our prayer that today's episode encourages your growth in the grace and knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ.
Father in heaven, the applause that you hear belongs to you. And we want to thank you, Father, that the battles that we face, the battles that are too great for us to navigate, the powers that are against us, not to mention the frailty of our own hearts and our brokenness and our fallen nature. You're the overcomer. You're the victor. And you promise that if I live, you will live also. You said that he who has the Son has life, but he who does not have the Son does not have life. So we're here as your sons and daughters, and that by grace. That this reality is because of a divine spark. That your light shined into our darkness, where we were once blind, we were made to see. Where we were once dead in trespasses and sins, you set us free and gave us life. We were once in bondage, but you brought us into freedom and liberty, and all because of grace. And the grace that is granted to us cost you dearly. We thank you for Good Friday. We thank you for the sacrifice. But what a joy to gather on Easter Sunday and to just shout of your glory, to shout of your victory, and to know that it is ours. Yours is ours. And we bless you and we praise you. And all God's people say, amen. Amen. Well, Calvary Chapel, happy Easter to you. So great to be with you. Hey, just real quick, by show of hands, how many of you are here? This is your first Easter at Calvary Chapel. Your very first Easter at Calvary Chapel. Welcome. We're glad you're here. Both of the overflow rooms are completely full. So though I can't see you, we're so glad that you've joined us. How many of you have been here for five? You've had five Calvary Chapel Easters. You've been here for 5 years. How many of you have been a part of 10 Calvary Chapel Easters? 10, I see a bunch. How many of you have been a part of 15 Calvary Chapel Easters? Anyone been here 20 Calvary Chapel Easters? Anyone in this room? Now, last night, P.J. Nardi was here and Darlene Nelson was here. I think I've got a picture. I think I do. That's Calvary Chapel 24 years ago. That's an Easter service. That's the whole Easter service. To say that the Lord's done a little something is an understatement, right? What an incredible thing. And isn't it true that springtime is like the most appropriate time to celebrate the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead? I mean, everywhere you go, year by year, year by year, in the end, winter has to let go. I mean, it has to finally, ultimately let go and be overcome by life, right? The skies are bluer now, the grass is greener now, there's pops of color everywhere because everything is just springing up to life. And so I think how perfectly appropriate that we celebrate the resurrection of Christ in the spring, where really everywhere you go, right? I mean, just drive down everywhere you go, the message is just like from heaven, life and life after death. Got to thinking yesterday morning about the victory that we celebrate today, and sort of this like the emotion, the sentiment, and I got to thinking about those of you who know me. No, I don't mess around with this too much. I'm a football player, the other kind, a soccer player, but I'm not going to throw this at anyone. But I got to thinking about the kind of exultant celebration it is, the fact that Christ conquered death there 2,000 years ago, and I got to thinking about the end zone spike, you know what I mean? I'm talking just, you're gonna put it down. And I thought, wouldn't it be cool, because a whole bunch of you this Easter are celebrating Easter without someone that you love. There's right now, there's an empty place. Someone that you love, since the last time we had Easter to this time, somebody's not here. And I thought, wouldn't it be cool? And they died in faith. Wouldn't it be cool to just start a new tradition at Easter where if anyone in the year prior said goodbye to a loved one who died in faith, we'll let you come up here on the stage and just slam, just spike this thing in the face of the devil saying, "Where, oh death, is your victory? Where, oh death, is your sting? Death has been swallowed up in victory." Amen. We get a little fired up, as you can tell. I drove home raw horse last night with my two services. It's better for those that have gone on than it is for us. Our Savior has won. Death's been defeated. They're home. They're free. It's amazing. Each year when we gather for 24 years, I always think in terms of gatherings like this. I always think in terms of those who are found and those who are lost. I think in terms of those who are a part of the church and those who are part of the crowd. I think in terms of those who are His and those who are not. And so I always feel a conviction that there needs to be both an exhortation to those who are found and maybe an invitation to those who are still lost. And so I've got an exhortation and an invitation. It's simple, just three verses I want to share with you. One verse for the church, and then as I unpack it, it's a beautiful thing. I've never seen it like this before. As I unpack it, then I want to close just as I want to pray over us, Calvary Chapel, that this idea that we see in the lives of these women on Easter Sunday would sort of impact us until we get a chance to come again and gather and celebrate the resurrection of Jesus. And then I've got two verses to share, just two verses from a very tender moment in the life and the ministry of Jesus, and a father in particular, and a woman who had an issue that only Christ could heal. So here's the verse out of, this is Mark chapter 16. This is Easter Sunday, and we read, "On the way, they were asking each other, who will roll away the stone for us from the entrance to the tomb?" Let me just say right now, listen, it's love that led them and faith that followed. Love led, faith followed. So here's what's happening. In the first two verses of Mark chapter 16, we're told that soon as the Sabbath ended, Saturday evening, the Marys gathered together and they purchased everything that they would need, listen, to anoint the crucified body of their Savior. They thought, we want to serve him somehow. Now, I don't know if there's some cultural, insight into this. I don't know. In fact, if you could take a look at Psalm 68, verse 11 in the ESV. It's basically the women that go to the tomb the first thing on Sunday morning is the fulfillment of prophecy. Check this out. But they didn't know that. So you think to yourself, I don't know if there's something inherently sort of female about this. Like, they just love Jesus. He's now crucified and slain. My family and I watched The Passion of the Christ two nights ago, and I don't know if the film did an injustice, like it went too far as to what it is that they physically did to Jesus' body. We know that the film could in no way portray the spiritual assault that he dealt with, right? But the Bible does tell us that he was literally beaten beyond recognition. So Saturday night, the girls sort of hatch a plan. Let's get some anointing oil, let's get some spices, and let's go anoint the dead body of Jesus. Now, personally, I think, why? For what? I mean, you're not preserving anything, he's gone. And they would say, because we love him. But notice, they're on the way, and they're like, I forgot about the stone. They're already on the way, they've got all the stuff, they had a plan. They were led by love, and they moved out towards something dark, towards something difficult, toward death even. And then on the way, they're like, hey, And notice, I love this, it's faith. Led by love, faith followed. Faith, and this is why it's powerful, folks. Faith, the object of faith isn't how. The object of faith is who. And they look at one another on the way. Who will roll away the stone for us? And of course, they get there and they find out that the stone was gone. Love led. Faith followed. Love inspired them. Love compelled them. Love moved them to do something difficult, to wade, to step toward death, to step toward something that was dark. And they had to trust then that God would move that stone for them. And that's my prayer for you and me. That's my prayer for the church. That's my prayer for us between now and the next time we get together like this, that the love of Christ would compel us to do things that are difficult. We might step toward darkness. We might even step toward things that are dead and trust, like, unless he shows up, nothing's going to happen. But it's love led and then faith then followed. And of course, they got there and saw what? Only the greatest miracle of all human history. The miracle happened, right? I mean, it wasn't contingent upon whether or not they got there. The stone was rolled away. He's risen. But they were the very first to see that incredible thing happen. And I think, what stones remain in our lives? What very, very difficult things do we face? Would love lead us towards something that's difficult, towards something that's dark, towards something that's, in his case, I mean, and then we'd believe that God can do. He can move the stone. He can move the difficulty. He can remove the obstacle supernaturally. And then what happens to us when we see that he does? Like, it's just incredible. So, Father, I want to pray in Jesus' name for your people, for your sons and daughters, for those who have been brought out of darkness into your marvelous light, those that know that you are God, those who know that you are alive, those whose eyes are open and ears can hear and hearts are sensitive to this powerful reality. It's not just simply a historical fact, but a profound personal revelation that is ours. Would you move us? Would you motivate us? Would be the thing that drives us and pushes us on toward things that we don't necessarily want to do. And then would faith follow? And we see you move in literally miraculous ways. There are still stones to be removed today. Oh, not his, of course. We face obstacles. We face difficulties that unless you show up, nothing's going to happen. So would you move mightily in our own hearts and may love compel us to do what we might say crazy things for you. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, I want to take you to an interesting moment in the ministry of Jesus. I saw this two mornings ago, yesterday morning, and we meet a man by the name of Jairus. He's a leader in the synagogue, so he's evidently a spiritual man. He's a man who led others in the faith, and he has a little girl who's 12. And that little body that was fearfully and wonderfully knit together in her mother's womb, for some reason, began to fail, and she was dying. And so Jairus knows Christ is on the scene. He's the healer. And he comes and he falls down at the feet of Jesus. And he says, please have mercy on me, my little girl. And Jesus says, we'll go. I'm coming with you. Well, right about that time, as Jesus begins to make his way, the crowd is sort of thronging about him. And there's a woman who has an issue of blood. She's ceremonially unclean, according to Jewish tradition and law. She shouldn't touch anybody because she's unclean, but she thinks to herself, after spending everything that she's got on doctors to be healed, only to get worse, she says, if I could just touch the hem of his garment, I could be well. And so she makes her way through the crowd, And in a moment, she reaches out and touches just the hem of his garment. And Jesus stops and says, wait. Somebody touch me. And the disciples are like, well, I mean, everybody's touching you. You're in a mess. He goes, no, I just felt power come out for me. Because someone with intentionality, someone distinctly touched me. She could no longer really hide, and she ultimately, being clean, comes clean here. And he says, daughter, your faith has made you well. Well, right about that time, the synagogue ruler, his servants show up, and he goes, you don't need to trouble the master any longer. The little girl's dead. I was thinking this morning, laying in bed, for Jesus, death and a headache, about the same thing, right? It's no big deal. He's like, well, let's go. So he gets to the house. Everybody's weeping. Everybody's wailing. It's just a great scene. He goes, settle down. She's just sleeping. They make fun of him. They laugh. He puts everybody out of the house, and he goes into the room with Peter, James, John, and mom and dad. And then the verse says this, then he took her by the hand, 12-year-old little lifeless hand laying there, and he said in a loud voice, my child, get up. And at that moment, her life returned, and she immediately stood up. Then Jesus told them to give her something else. I like the way that that's written. And at that moment, her life returned. He says out loud over the body, my child, get up. And her life, where was her life? Not there. You've been to a funeral? Well, there's my daddy. No, that's not your daddy. Your daddy's not here. That was just the earthly tent that God gave for your daddy to dwell in. Your daddy's somewhere else. Listen, if you're here and you do not know Jesus, you've got to know you will live forever somewhere. Because you're made in the image of God Almighty, who's eternal. The question is, where will you dwell? In the presence of God and with God and his favor and goodness, or in a place that he actually spoke more about than he did about heaven, a place called hell. Here's the reality. Spiritually speaking, you are the little girl. You are dead in trespasses and sins. The Bible says that the wages of sin is death. The Bible says that no one is righteous, no, not one. And I wonder to myself, is it not possible that the very same risen Jesus who showed up next to this little girl's dead body and just took her hand and said, my child, get up, is it reaching out to somebody right now because he knows your name and you're here? He's reaching out to you and saying, my child, get up. Get up. Turn your back on sin. That's why I went to the cross. I knew no sin, but my father slaughtered me because he's just. He, the father, laid on me the iniquity of everyone. The thing that separates us from God, and the thing that, well, keeps us from life, is something called sin. That's why the severity of the cross. That's why the glorious power in the resurrection, he conquered sin, hell, death, all everything that stood against us, Christ handled. And so here's the question. The question is, wherever you are, you're over in the overflow room, this overflow room over here, you're in this room right now. You're here not by accident. You're here by, he summoned you here, he's reaching out his hand to you and saying, my child, get up. Turn, and your life will return to you. You will be born again. Everything that is old will be made. All the old things will be made new. That's what the Bible says. We're living in a time where we're going to have to stand for what we believe. Amen. We're going to have to stand for who we say we believe in. Historically, those of you that have been around for 20 years or 15 years and 10 years know that typically I'll have everybody bow their head, and if you feel moved and you feel an invitation by Jesus, just to lift up your hand. Listen, In the spirit of what it is that we've just heard, if you're here right now, you know you need a Savior, you know Jesus Christ is Him, and you hear Him calling your voice, would you just stand to your feet? Just wherever you are, just stand up in the presence of Jesus. Take His hand and go, I'm in. God, I need forgiveness of sins. I'm a sinner. I'm dead in my trespasses and sins. Oh, wait, just stand wherever you are. This is your opportunity to respond to the gospel. It's not my invitation. It's His invitation. Jesus said, you confess me before men on earth, I will confess you before my Father in heaven. You deny me before men on earth, I will deny you before my Father in heaven. Listen, there's no such thing as being undecided. Jesus said, you're either for me or you're against me. Is there a sinner in a crowd like this that is willing to publicly stand up? Praise God. Anybody else? Just stay standing. Praise God, brother. He's for you, man. Praise God, young man. You hear His voice. Anybody else? Just stay standing for a second. I can't see what's happening in the other room. If anybody else is here, listen, I'm not going to have you come forward. I'm not going to put a microphone in front of you. He's offering you life and forgiveness of sins and the hope of heaven. Anybody else? I'm going to wait just a second because I know that there's a battle on. There's always a battle. There's always a battle. The Bible says the God of this age has blinded the eyes of unbelievers so they can't see. No, I'm smart. I just don't believe it. No, your eyes are blind. You don't see. That's the problem. It's not you're too smart for the rest of us fools. It's, listen, you're stuck in your sin and you're blind. Any other guilty sinner here? It says, I need Christ Jesus today. You'll put your head on your pillow tonight and you will say, it is well with my soul. Nah. He's waiting for you, whoever you are. He's waiting for you. He's coming after you. He's a greater Savior than you are a sinner. No one can forgive me for what it is that I've done. He can. He will wash away your sins and change you. Anybody else here glad God didn't give up on him? He waited for you. He loves you. He's for you, young lady. Anybody else? Yeah, praise God. Praise God, brother. Listen, those of you that are standing, I'm going to lead you in a prayer. This prayer is really like the woman touching the hem of Christ's garment. Like you're going to reach out by faith. And it's our anthem, the church. All of us are going to pray out loud with you, right? Because this is our song. This is our testimony. And so those of you that are standing and all to church together, let's just say, Lord Jesus, I'm a sinner and I need a Savior. And I know you're Him. Forgive me, God, for everything that I've done against you and others and myself. Free me, heal me, change me, fill me with your Spirit, and I will follow you all the days of my life until I see you face to face. And all God's people say, amen and amen. God bless you guys. Praise God. Praise God. Hey, two things for those of you that stood up. Right outside in the lobby, and if you're in either one of the overflow rooms, right outside in the lobby, there's a little kiosk that says, I raised my hand, and you did more than raise your hand. You stood up together in an audience that applauses you, because listen, when you leave here today, no one out there is going to think this is a good move. We're stoked for you. Welcome to the family of God. I mean, welcome to the family of God. But I want to say, so there's a gift for you, a Bible and a Bible study guide right out there. You take it, it's yours. But I'm going to leave the football up here, so later if you want to just come up and spike this thing and in the devil's face, you can. Amen. Let's all stand together and close in song.
Thank you for listening to Get Fed Today. Today's sermon comes from Pastor Frank Ramsour. If you enjoy the message, you can learn more about Pastor Frank's ministry by visiting calvarychat.com. That's Calvary, C-H-A-T-T.com.